Sunday. Sunday we can. We're up to. We just read the Gemara of Anigra, and I think we got to the end. Is that correct? So then I wanted to go back and touch upon a few of the topics that we haven't yet gone back to. The first issue we wanted to deal with, we've already dealt with. I think the issue of the Gemara in Erevin is nothing more to talk about. With regards to the issue of drinking wine, whether wine has the effect of sating. And again, it's sad for me to say I don't know what the Metzius is here. I doubt there's any.
I think it's what the last line of the Beer Halacha says.
No. I know. I understand that. I'm just curious as to a typical Metzius. I don't really drink wine. Does wine have the effect of sating? What does wine do to appetite in small amounts and large amounts? What? Wise guy Kastner. You know, I'm going to Montreal this afternoon to speak this evening on when the science of the Gemara conflicts with the science of modern science and how to post can respond. You know, what is the response? So what's that? A range of
post-com. I mean, like modern day post-com?
Modern day post-com, yeah. For the most part, you know, the assumption of the lecture is predicated upon the possibility, predicated upon an assumption that there actually can be a conflict with modern science, that modern science might possibly be right. If you assume, of course, that it's wrong, which is, by the way, an approach. I don't know. It's an approach probably coming more into vogue, but so I don't work with that approach. I don't assume that.
Are you putting the blog?
No, that's a different topic. Yeah, I mean, the certain people on the blog believe that science changes. So science constancy is only an issue for scientists, but believers, you know, we don't believe that the laws of nature remain constant. I should parenthetically note that's one of the most absurd lines I've ever heard stated. The whole notion of chazaka, the whole notion of both of chazakas of status quo and of teva, chukei ha-teva, work on an assumption that under normal circumstances the laws of nature never change. So anyway. Well, that is true as well. Yes, the whole notion of a miracle being something unusual is no longer so. I guess the big deal about it was the convenience of when science changed. So okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says, what does it say about wine? It says that lagabe chamra, it says that chamra is soyed. So the Gemara had a problem with chamra being soyed. Why? Because Rava used to drink wine. He used to drink wine all of Erev Pesach. Now, as we pointed out when we noted here that the line itself is actually ambiguous, because it could mean he used to drink every Erev Pesach. It could mean he used to drink the entire day. Which way did the Gemara hear in our sugya understand that? The entire day. So, because it came up with the answer of tuva garir, but purta misad soyin. Okay, which seems to be very, very, very counterintuitive. Again, unless by that point he had become so inebriated that, you know. But I won't ask because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. If anybody here in their more exciting pre-Israel days ever used to drink to excess and could tell us what the effects are on appetite, but I'm not going
to
ask.
Very excited to Israel days.
What's that? I'm sorry. Well, I would assume Chas V'Shalom, and when there is Yisrael, they would have shed those habits. But anyway, so what does the Gemara Pesachim say here? Can I get a volunteer reader who hasn't read yet this month? Is that you, Aaron? You had a look. You want to read?
Yeah, I was thinking about the
throwing around. You actually had a different cultural experience for a year, right?
Yeah. So,
I didn't mean that. Chas V'Shalom, you. You might have seen it. But, you know, usually you thought about them throwing up after they got drunk, not about their appetite. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Emergency room.
So, Rav Hava Shase Chamra. It's on the handout if you want to come Zayin Amid Beis. A very proper way of doing things, actually. Just parenthetically, sometimes I put the Gemaras on here. They're meant primarily for during Shir, because assuming you should have access to a Shas during Seder, it's be much preferable that you actually read it in the Gemara where you have easy access to Rishon. What's that? Yes. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. Arguably, the pshat is he used to be all of Erev Pesach, because I don't think it's recent to tell us that he used to drink every Erev Pesach. In other words,
didn't we also suggest the possibility that it could be specifically noting the time of day? Kol yom edem Erev Pesach, kula yom. At any time during the day.
Oh yes, right. So that is equally a viable shot. Yes, in this context, that makes me more sense.
The formulation of the statement in the first place already implies that it was every year.
Right, yes, that's correct.
And then the shot that you're trying to figure out from it is it what time of day or is it all day?
Fine. So I suspicion that the most shot interpretation probably is at any time of the day. Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Aaron. Which is a funny kind of statement. Mino amina la, what should the answer have been? Because I tried it and I have an appetite. Okay, so he says, now what's my proof that this is a working halachic assumption, I guess? So the answer is... Okay, so Rava says, you see from that the halacha accepts the fact that wine does not serve as something which suppresses appetite or fills you up, but rather it actually enhances appetite. So given that, so then the Gemara goes on to talk about Rav Sheshes, who used to fast the entire day, and the truth is there, it's kol mala yoma de pischa, but probably if you look in the Kesfeyat, I bet you they're both the same, whatever it is. So the Gemara's maskan is, why did Rav Sheshes do this? First, they gave some very fancy lamdisha hesber as to why he used to fast about the Karban Pesach and the Zman Karban Pesach b'dieved, according to one Tana, is all day. So in fact, Taka, that proves it. It's the entire day long. Not the way, unless you separate Rav Sheshes, it's not the way the Bavli understood it here on Lamed Hayom Beis. The Gemara here, okay, the Gemara here may have clearly understood Kula Yoma de Pischa, the entire Erev Pesach. It wasn't a question of how much he drunk. Okay, hold on.
Even if you don't separate it, it's still not necessarily.
I'm sorry?
Even if you do separate, it's not necessarily.
The Gemara in Lama Hamad Beis clearly understood Kol Mala Yoma de Pischa meant the entire day, which meant a lot. And that's why it gave the teretz that it did, the difference between a lot and a little. The sugya in Pesachim almost explicitly assumes that it means at any point during the day. No, maybe not. You could say he didn't eat the entire day. But the focus clearly is establishing why he didn't eat in certain periods of the day. It's not about the duration of not eating. So it really does seem to lead to an opposite conclusion. And this will explain a lot of things. So go ahead. So the Gemara gets to the end and says, what was the reason why? So Amrei lo, the last line. Shani... The last line in this Gemara, you can tip to the end. Rav Sheshes, the Istanas Hava. Do you see this? The last line on the printed in the. Oh, okay, it's right before the two dots. Okay, if we'd eat anything in the morning, he wouldn't have an appetite later. So Rav Sheshes was, in addition to being blind, he was an Istanas. Now. So when you walk away from our sugya, even forgetting about the diak we just made, what opinion can you draw about wine in terms of a lot and a little? No. I mean on the Pesachim sugya. What conclusion would you draw about a lot and or a little?
Depends on the person.
Well, okay, no. But even in Rava's comment, on Pesachim, not in Brachos. The answer is you wouldn't draw any conclusions. If you read that Gemara, there's no mashmos in the sugya. There's a mention of the sugya, a distinction of how much wine you drink. If you read the word kulei in one fashion to imply he would drink all day, then at least you could assume that Rava was drinking a lot of wine. On the other hand, the Gemara clearly does not, in Pesachim, it certainly does not read it that way. It does not read it that kulei yoma... It means he was drinking all day and therefore drank a lot. It just meant he would drink at any point during the day, as evidenced by the way the Gemara handled Rav Sheshes. Now, when you go back to Gemara and Brachos, so there, the Gemara doesn't tell you explicitly how it read the statement, but it pretty clearly read the statement called Kulayoma meant the entire day, which meant it understood it as being a lot. If the Gemara in Brachos had not read it that way, could it have given the teretz that it gave? No, it could have. I mean, it would have been just a shot in the dark ukimta. Right? Now, you want to know the difference between Rava and this case? So I agree with you, Aya. I think it's very clear the Gemara's diyuk is almost certainly based upon the reading of Kulayoma. But even if you didn't have that, you could still make an argument for a distinction. Okay? I think it's very clear that the Gemara most probably was medayik from Kulayoma. But clearly the Gemara Pesachim didn't understand it that way. No, neither. That's not what the Raya is. Well, I skipped over it. I had you skip. But let's read it for a second.
I know it's not what the Raya is.
What?
I know it's not what the Raya is.
It makes a difference, though.
Right. If you're going to say that those four cups.
You're saying according to the Bavli, you'd have to drink a lot in between. You couldn't drink only a little. Yeah. It's a little bit of a stretch, is what you're saying. Granted. Okay. So now when you go to the issue of the postgame, and I'm only doing this. Not so much for the topic. The topic's sort of irrelevant to brachos, but in terms of methodology and how Rishonim handle sugyas. So how does the Mechaber Paskin here? Go ahead, Aaron. Here, I think you'll certainly want the sheet. I mean, you could. I encourage you. It's not that I wouldn't encourage you to use the Shulchan Aruch, but there are far fewer copies. And as general best practices from a B'nai based medrash, especially if you have a makom where your svarim are not getting trampled, it's a good thing to have a shas by your makom. It's a highly recommended thing. If you don't have, you're looking at me like Jason, like I'm coming from outer space.
Where your svarim don't get trampled.
I understand. Okay, that's a problem. It has to be addressed, but. But nonetheless, it's really good to have a small shas because then it's easy to look up the stuff that you really should be looking up. So the Shulchan Aruch says, go ahead, Asur. Okay, that makes sense, right? Eat a lot of this stuff, it's going to fill you up. Tavat. Okay. So here the Mechaber quotes the sugya in Brachos. Now, this is an very interesting bir halacha. Obviously, the problem arises because a lot of early Rishonim seem to have made no distinction. So the bir halacha writes, and obviously at this point, it's pretty obvious you know where I'm going with it because we've already laid out where it's coming from, but this is what you should be thinking. Go ahead. Beit Yosef. Now, just a comment here about halachic methodology. If the Beis Meir is correct, then this would what? It goes against the Beis Yosef methodology. It's your sock. Now, I should point out, I didn't mention this last Thursday. The Ramah himself, in his introduction to the Darche Moshe, accuses the Mechaber. He cites one or two examples where he didn't follow his own claim, you know, to follow a majority of the big three. But this is a kid now. So I asked this question because why is this not really a right? This is not a violation of the Beis Yosef methodology because Chaim.
I would just say, I mean, without having looked at the Yerif or the Rambam, it could be that it's just not clear as to what.
Correct. In other words, they're stimas halashon. As you can see from any quotes, the Beis Meir says midasasme harif arama rash from the stimas halashon. It's not that they said it explicitly. Here is worth mentioning something also that I referred to on Thursday. And this might provide you with a clearer example, though it's not in that context, of a very important Truma Sadeshan that the Beis Yosef quotes at least two places in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. I don't know if he quotes it anywhere else, where we have a din that any suffix in Netilas Yadayim, we go Bakula, and the Truma Sadeshan says that applies to not only a suffix in Mitzias, but even a suffix in Halacha. If you have a Machlokas or Rishonim, so the Truma Sadeshan says, you may kill by Netilas Yadayim. But he says, what he says is that that's only by a situation where you have an explicit machlokas, in other words, where you have those who are machmir and you have those who are explicitly makil, you know, keneged the machmirim. But if it's just, you know, he says, but if it's not explicit, So then the Trumas Hadeshen says, you know, then you can't assume that you automatically go to Kula. So anyway, that there is a difference between when something is Beferish and something is Estimas Halashon. So he says, the Estimas Stasmi Arif Arama Rosh, the Mashma. You know, Orvin Hil Chasavelis, go ahead. Aaron? Shisias Shari Vafilu Tuvanami. Now the truth, right, so the Maram Chalava also says, now it's interesting what he does here. He says that you're allowed to drink even a little wine, and certainly you're allowed to drink a lot of wine because it draws the appetite. Now, which is interesting. What's that? He's accepting both in effect.
But he makes a kalachomet.
What's that? He accepts this notion, he accepts the metzias of the Gemara. I would say like this, it's almost as if he's accepted the metzias of the sugya and brachos, but he rejects the din of the Gemara and brachos in favor of the potentially other sugya. Shlama?
Taz gives a different reason.
Yeah?
Taz says that even the Torah would agree that it's only a lot that makes you...
Yeah?
That gets your appetite. But he says that since you're drinking two cups of wine before you eat the matzah anyway, so those two huge cups...
Are mitzdarif,
and therefore no matter... Even if you drink a little...
But that doesn't make sense in the Gemara.
Right.
No, they go back to the Gemara and it doesn't work. No, because the Gemara, the whole point is that if the Gemara in Brachos is quoting Rava's din with respect to Arvei Psachim and says that he wouldn't drink a little wine, he was going to drink the two cups later. Okay.
It's saying we know it's Tuva. Because he would drink on Erev Pesach and he would drink on
Pesach night. Oh, you want to time that. Okay, fine.
I hear.
Okay, so it's a nice pill pull.
As a not so sort of something, like if you say those two original cups are definitely not today. Because you're allowed to drink more.
No. The point is, if you accept the Gemara and Brachos, you can explain the Taz, but the Gemara and Brachos assumes that Rava was... No, I'll tell you why, Gabe, it doesn't work, because the whole premise of the Gemara and Brachos is based upon a certain reading of Rava, that Rava Havashasi, you know, koma leyoma de pischa. Because otherwise the Gemara, on something that's completely counterintuitive, you would expect the Gemara to explain, right? In other words, nobody else in the world, look even at the example in the Shulchan Aruch about Yerukos and Peros, right? Nobody thinks to say that a little is not okay, a lot's okay. Right? It's so counterintuitive, unless the Gemara... it's not Mephorish, but it really... I think the postures is that the Gemara in Brachos is reading as Kulimala in the Pisca, which makes the Taz's interpretation impossible. Because Rabbi used to do that at Erev Pesach, he had to drink Kol Yoma in order to avoid the problem of only having Porta. Okay, anyway.
So how do you read
it? So it's difficult.
So I have an answer at all?
That's right.
Is it possible to go with that answer? Is it possible that Rav is sort of commenting on...
Do you know, when you heard Rav Amar speak yesterday, he didn't feel compelled to... Now, maybe it's because they were Ashkenazim, but he was simply content to leave Chazon Ish and some of his Talmidim's interpretations of the Rambam Bekoshi and not feel the need to explain them, that it was just Dochag. So I can say the same about the Taz. Okay. Yes, Yom HaShem,
sorry. Maybe the Gemara is just... sort of jumping, using Rava as a jumping off point, and that Rava just drank every Erev Pesach, not all day. And the Gemara's been comment that, you know, generally speaking, that
I agree, but it's so what Eyal's point, even if not fully is fully spelled out, is that it's so counterintuitive for the Gemara. Just if all the Gemara has is a stira, one source says that wine fills, and one source says that wine enhances the appetite. For the Gemara just to say little versus a lot the way it does, without any explanation, is very strange. It's not impossible, but it's very strange. I mean, I suggested that myself, what you're saying now. I think it's highly unlikely. I think it really seems to be machlokas how to read that statement, kuleyoma de pescha.
If you wanted to do that, then the Gemara should make the opposite of kimta. They should say...
Yes, yeah, that's my point.
The Gemara does that all the time. But it would say a little bit is
not filling.
The appetite,
and a lot
fills you up.
Yes. Okay, so now the Bir Halacha continues. V'chein mashma...
Mishkinat HaRashbet,
Okay. Ivra, which means the MS. So notice he added in one word. When you read generally Rabbi Nechanano, you have to be aware that he does these things very subtly. If you read it very quickly, you just think you're reading in the Gemara and you don't realize what he's doing. But you got to read it very carefully. Ayin shamu muchach. The kivein bazeh. Right, as he was thinking about the Gemara and Brachas, and that's why he just added one word into Gemara and Psachim in its interpretation and made clear what he was thinking. Okay, so basically, you know, it's not one size fits all. And the truth is, the Gemara, if you look at it, the Gemara doesn't say, what does the Ritz Gaius do with the Gemara, though? No, I know, but the Gemara says, still, you have a Svara, you want to say you are different, but still. Naniach that, but you still, but, no.
So whatever works.
So I would say differently. The Gemara in Pesachim doesn't say it's usher to drink. You know, it doesn't. The Gemara in Brachos, nowhere does it say it's usher to drink. It's inadvisable to do things. There are certain things that are specifically usher. When the Mishnah talks about lo yochal, it's talking about pas. So it could be the Ritz Gaius just reading the Gemara when the Gemara here only gives the Ukimta of Ma'at versus Harbe. It doesn't say it's usher to drink wine. Obviously, if it's going to kill your appetite, then it's something you shouldn't do. Maybe. It could be that he's entirely... And I'll tell you what, here's the problem. The problem is what you don't get with that Terence Eyal is, you know, he says generally you go, you figure yourself out. So let's say a person can eat a lot of fruits and it's not a problem, right? So then that's fine according to the Ritz Gaius. But the Mishnah suggests certain kind of absolute limitations. Lo yocha ladam. So when the Gemara explains what lo yocha means, you know, if this you can eat, that you can eat. So when the Gemara implies that something you shouldn't eat, why does the Ritz Gaius say, well, it all depends upon you? Logically, I understand, but from the typical approach of psika, why does he do that? Okay, but Rosh Hashanah at least didn't eat anything. Okay, so you see, you want to say he reads the maskana of the sugya is that everything before is sort of irrelevant. And the question is, how far would one go with that? Would one say that if it's not going to suppress your appetite, it's mutter to eat pas after 10 and a half hours? Now you're wondering what pas can you eat after 10 and a half hours?
So is that like a non-chametz?
Matzah shira.
Yeah.
What's that?
Not
yes, for Ashkenazim.
Especially
for Ashkenazim, some Ashkenazim believe it's us to eat matzah shira in Erev Pesach after the Zman Chametz. But the Darkei Moshe actually, as Rosh Hechtus pointed out, the Darkei Moshe Aruch, it's very clear that he didn't say there was the Isser, that there was any Isser of eating matzah shir in Erev Pesach after Shas Isser Chametz, but rather that they didn't bother doing it. And the way, I don't know if it says Beferish there or not, is because since they didn't eat matzah shira on Pesach, and you couldn't eat it after 10 and a half hours anyway, and before four hours you could eat Chametz, for that number of hours they weren't going to bother making matzah shira. What? So therefore, personally, when we get those years that Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, is that this year? So I make usually Suda Shlishis on Matzah Shira before you have to do it before 9.5 hours because then you're not allowed to. Then it's the Mishnah Samachach Sheikh Lo Yochal. But even though it's after Zman Isser Chametz, so Sfaradim certainly can, but even Ashkenazim can if they.
And you eat enough of it so that you can make a matzah.
You know, I haven't really thought about that in this particular. Context, but certainly at least have Mizonas by Suda Shlishis. But yes, I guess if I would have a, if I thought about it this year and being more versed in Brachos and Pasim Abi Kisim, I probably would. It may even be, some would hold, it's not, I don't know if it's Dover Pashut. For the Rambam, certainly it wouldn't be, it's Pasim Abi Kisim. I don't know if everybody agrees it's Pasim Abi Kisim or not. I don't know. And maybe some might say, some might say that it's no different than Matzah.
In which case, the Sephardim will say it's always Mizonos.
It's all food just right now.
Until Pesach.
I'm not going to go into before Pesach, we can talk about that more, but anyway. But,
I'm sorry, a lot of the Shabbos definitely don't know about that because of my Yeshiva in Israel and Shabbat Bell and Arab.
I know. So I have, you know, my Kabbalah is from my Rebbe on this. It's there. If you look, it's not a. No. Okay. Now, then the Biur Halach himself writes, interestingly enough, as opposed to the general tendency towards Chumra, he says, V'chein Mistabra, go ahead. All right, this might be the equivalent of Levio de Amoras Nafsho. Okay? Now, the only question I have is, where did the Torah come on to this idea? Was it a Svar that motivated him? The answer is, I'm certainly not. What's that? I suspect, well, yes, but, you know, that, typically speaking, without, when, Chachmei Ashkenaz tend not to reject Realia of the Gemara because they tend to assume it's, not always, but it's almost always correct, less so than Chachmei Sfarad, and the Torah doesn't say anything about that. You would expect them to have said something. Ben?
It could be Machria with Rav Sheshet.
But, you know, but the Torah doesn't say, the Torah doesn't present it that way, that each person, in other words, the way the Rich Gaius presents it, I understand. But the Torah doesn't present it in that fashion.
Also, Rosh Hashanah is the other way around.
Rosh Hashanah moves in the opposite direction anyway.
Right, but that it's gives not, you the sense that...
No, I said, why aren't you guys jumping up? You know what the answer is. I put it out on a silver platter for you. I thought I did.
He reads Kula Yama.
He sees it as a machlokas asagas. He sees the ukimta perhaps as the chukah because the metzias doesn't make sense in brachas. And the ukimta, the chukah of one sugya within a particular memra versus the other sugya, it's clear they see it. The Rambam and the Rif see this as a machlokas asagas. I think it's a davar pashut.
In terms of what the story wrote.
Yeah. And once you don't read it that way, I would just say even the Stima Salashim Limsachim doesn't suggest the way, and therefore the Ukimta is very dechukah. The Rambam has a tendency to reject Ukimta's dechukos. This has led some to believe, to assert something which I believe is false, that the Rambam didn't assign authority to the Stama de Gemara. Some of the people associated with the Rivadim movement in Eretz Yisrael have written things along this line. No, I don't mean Ayal. He's not associated with the Radim movement, but something that he brought to my attention a number of years ago. I don't know if you remember a certain article. The Rivadim on their website will not make any such claim, but some of the people pushing behind it write it separately. And this was a big issue many years ago in Yeshiva. My Rebbe still, you know, doesn't really hold ill opinion of certain people because of this thesis that they pushed that the Rambam didn't recognize the Stam of the Gemara. It happens to be the thesis I believe is completely wrong. Not for religious reasons, but simply because the Rambam, firstly, it's been noted already. If you want to see a good example of it, the Magid Mishnah, Hilchos Niske Mam, in the last Parak Yodalad, on the issue of Talmud Be'esh, points out that the derech of the Rambam often is to follow Pshutan Shel Brisas and Mishnayos against certain ukimtas of the Gemara. It happens to be that most of those ukimtas come from the Stam of the Gemara, but I don't think that's an indication that the Rambam didn't hold the authority to Stam of the Gemara. There's a notion that the Bishonim have is that we often don't paskin like a sheet that when you need an ukimta dechukah, and frequently there may be other sugyas that don't work with that ukimta, and therefore we reject, we take a sugya pshuta, we adopt that over, or we accept that over a sugya which sort of twists itself and bends itself into a pretzel with certain kinds of ukimtas. And in this particular case, I suspect that could be adding to the, you know, fuel to the fire here, because yes, the metzias does seem a little bit counterintuitive. So I think in this case it's a davar pashut. The Rambam, the Rif, and this is a general tendency of Chachmei Svarad, have rejected one sugya in favor of the other. Even if you quote in Rav Amar Shir yesterday, something which I think is something much more typical of Chachmei Svarad, it's certainly mine to be shown him, and I can't speak about Achronim, but an approach admittedly I'm more comfortable with is the notion that the sugya in Avodah Zarah was working with Abaye and the sugya in Moed Katan was working within Rava. I'm not 100% convinced, but as a method, I certainly think that that's in the intuitive first answer one goes for in explaining the stiris within Rashi, because Rashi was a sugya rishon. He wasn't interested in putting all the sugyas and chas together. He was dealing in two different places. Again, I'm not convinced that's the answer there, but methodologically, it's something I personally am very comfortable with. Chachmei Ashkenaz had a greater tendency, as you know, the Baalei Tosfos, that they would try to put everything together, make a kugel out of everything, where every gemara fit with the other. And you know, for those who are more pshat inclined, it's a less appealing approach in terms of reading gemaras. Anyway, I think in this case it's a davar pashut that one sugya has been favored in over the other. And while at first glance, again, the Gemara Pesachim might not be explicitly against the Gemara Brachas, when you actually look at how they probably read the word Kula Yoma, I think it's pretty clear the Gemara Brachas read it the entire day, meaning he drank all day. And the Gemara Pesachim read it that he was willing to eat at any time of the day, and not that he was drinking all day. And therefore, the Gemara Pesachim doesn't distinguish between, you know, Ma'at and Harbe, and we don't distinguish between Ma'at and Harbe either, because Havishase Chamra Kula Yom de Pischa, Mala Yom de Pischa means that he would drink at any time during the day he wanted. There was no problem even after Shah Asiris. Ezra?
That was just said that Rashi is like a Sugya Rishon, where he'll just say the Pesha. That's an accepted thing, because like,
yes.
I always felt that I was terrified to say it in my yeshiva, where we'd spend all day.
Well, there's a lot of Achronah Shetorah that, you know, that aims to resolve the Steiris and Rashi, but it's simply not a question in the first place. I mean, I think you have to understand, read sugyas carefully, and think through the lens which Rashi is reading it. But, and it's not to say that Rashi never puts two sugyas together. On very rare occasion, Rashi will explicitly ask a question. Although, if you see Rashi asking a lot of those Balei Tosfos type questions, it's usually because it's not Rashi. Right. And often Rashi will solve these problems silently. You know, without even, but much of the time there are a lot of steers in Rashi because there's steers in the Gemara.
Even if it's like within a couple of dapim of each other.
It depends. Within one sugya you don't expect a steer in Rashi. Once you're dealing cross sugyas, they typically tend to be cross masechtas, but not necessarily. Your working assumption when you're reading Rashi should be not that it's a stira, but then what you have to work hard to do is to figure out what really. I don't think Rashi b'shita, maybe he does, but I don't think he does. Deliberately ignore another sugya when reading one. I think that you should, and again, maybe if it's really no kimta dechuka on one sugya, he doesn't bother with it in the other sugya just from the fact that the other sugya doesn't mention it. There usually must be something internal that's motivating Rashi to read a machlokas asugyas, because he really perceives one between the two sugyas. So yes, Rashi in that sense, in that particular regard, still belongs to Chachmei Sfarad, early Chachmei Sfarad. The difference, of course, between Rashi versus the Rambam in the Rif. Is that the Rambam and the Rif are writing Sifrei Psak, and therefore they're going to adopt, the Rambam certainly is going to adopt one position and not tell you about the other sugya that he's rejected. That's why there's so many kashas on the Rambam, because we don't know what the makor of the Rambam was, and frequently he rejects one sugya in favor of the other. I know that the briskers might not forgive one for saying that, but Rav Shechter told me the other day that Rav Isser Zalman, so he wrote his whole sefer on the Rambam. And apparently he must have, I don't know if he was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav or Revelvel, and he said to him, you know, something like, or he made, say, he wrote one, some comment, and not every kasha in the Rambam needs to be answered with a svara. And he said, we can't answer every question in the Rambam with a svara. And the Brisker Rav's response was apparently, he can't answer every question in the Rambam with a svara. But anyway, but in terms of this particular issue, I think it's clear you're dealing with what would be a machlokas asugyas, and particularly where one is an ukimta dechuka, and the Rambam and the Rif, and even in this case the Rush, simply favor the other sugya, the one Masachim, then. Which also, by the way, is the ikar makom of the sugya. I mean, that's another, when we show them way which sugya to paskin, like one of the factors is going to be, where is the primary place of the sugya, Ben?
So that then reflects itself in Bir Halacha, who's certainly in later generations of Chacham Ashkenaz.
Right. So, no, but he's not even dealing with the sugya problem. There, the Bi'ur Halacha just really goes into the logical approach. And he's got people saying one thing or another. He doesn't explain why they don't adopt one. He says, but it makes sense that you should figure out subjectively. He doesn't explain why. And he just follows logic. Game?
Yeah. How do we look at the Rambam and the Rif and the Rashi and Baskin that way?
The way you know, the answer is because the Rambam is particularly the Raya, because the Rambam, who quotes everything halacha lemaisa in the Gemara. See, if the Rambam is an argument in silence in the Rambam, is only significant is if the Gemara says something. An argument from silence in the Rambam, which the Gemara didn't say anything about, is not an argument, right? Because the Rambam basically is a reorganization of the Mishnah with Perush of the Gemara. That's what it is. It's a superb accomplishment of a work, even if it wasn't perfect, whatever else, it was an astounding thing that the Rambam did. But in terms of methodologically, if the Rambam with something that's in the Gemara, it seems to be halacha in the Gemara, then it's a question why. He didn't. He just said you can drink on Erev Pesachim. Erev Pesachim. You wanna? Where's the? Is there Rambam?
Yeah.
But then if you said you could drink, that sounds pretty clear.
Why is that Sodom and Torah?
So I'm just saying those who would argue that the Rambam didn't bother, you know, the counter argument would be the Rambam just, you know, didn't bother to mention a detail. You know, the Rambam left it out, you know, because it wasn't, but it's, that's not a really great argument. It's not a really, in this context, I think it's not a great argument. What's that? The argument there is not as strong. It's still, look, it's, they broke this in the middle. This is no good. This doesn't have it.
Isn't that Admonim?
No, it starts Hilcha Shofar. All right, and...
Where is it?
It's Admonim.
Yeah, but the part with
Rumble. Hold on one second. Hold on, I think it's at the end. Hold on.
The Mechaber doesn't have to...
Okay, 1 second. וכן אסור לאכול ערב הפסח מקודם מנחה כמעט כדי שיכנס לאכילת מצה בטייבה אבל אוכל מעט פרס וירקוס ולא ימלא קריסה מהם he doesn't even mention יין החכם הראשון אומר even עצמן ערב פסח תצרששס כדי לאכול מצה בטייבה צריך ויסה ביוסה אבל שער וישבס עשר ומתום אוכל ואוכל אחד שתשע so he mentions nothing about the yain so you could argue you're not going to argue that yain was אסור but he only talks about He talks about eating matzah on Erev Pesach. So the truth is, you could argue he doesn't say anything explicit. So maybe he held, but he can't say he held it was all us. That would have no basis at all. But the question is, why did he omit any? So you still have an interesting question. Why does the Rambam omit mention of wine? Bechlal, the answer is Ma'at Peres Yirakos. So it's assumed what you're not allowed to eat is pas. That's
like,
what's
like you said. It's never stated as us or explicitly. Like,
okay, but what? So you're saying
that it is.
But he does. You know, once he's telling you what's mutter, but Paris and Yurakos, he should say something. In other words, he should. If it's us, he should say something. Okay. Anyway, so I think just yes.
Yeah. So and what about the Rif Rush?
You can look at the Rif doesn't quote it here. I know. Right. Maybe not. Is there a psach? You know, you can. We'll look this. You'll look this up after Shir. So be aware that you have a contradiction between figures here, and how to read that line, and that probably is what's producing the position of the poskim ignoring the sugyan brachos. Okay. Second issue to talk about is the question of. And we've already hashed this out quite a bit. Well, we hashed out the Ikar Tafel piece. But when we're talking about what happens when a person's mazon, what happens when a person's mazon has changed. In our society, generally speaking, I think we can all be maskim, whether you like wraps or you don't like wraps, whether you like pita or you don't like pita, I think we can all agree that today very few people eat bread as the primary staple of their meal. That's a... Does anybody want to... Blumenthal's not here. Does anybody... In America. Yeah, that's right. In America. But it's not, you know... A society of 300 million people, you don't say... What?
You say that it seemed to be different if you live in Europe or Asia?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not even sure in Western Europe whether it's still really true, but... Aaron? No one... As one of my chaverim, Rabbi Palmer, likes to remind me of a Gemara... one of the, I think, reviewers was making fun of the Babylonians. He says, "Honey, babli tipshai, the achli nama benama." Right? They have a bread sandwich. I don't know exactly what it was that Matthias what they were doing, but can you imagine that? I have two slices of club and I'll stick a piece of rye in between. Nobody, you eat a sandwich, nobody, the meal, the primary, I think most people's conception is that you're eating, again, I don't want to bog me down, Ikar Tafel. I think when you have a sandwich, clearly, the part that you're most you like to have it with bread, but the primary focus of the meal is you're having deli or whatever else is in between.
Yeah.
Even there, I would say that
one tablespoon of peanut butter versus.
But still, I think right, the Ikar.
Really
so let's not.
You say we're having a sandwich for lunch. You don't really care what's in it. You just care that you're having a sandwich for lunch.
I'm not going down this road. Okay. All right. We're gonna. Someone, if there are any psychology or sociology majors here, put together a survey. You know, and get go over with Dr. Schneider, and you know, when you'll make sure it's scientific, and then you'll you know, submit it around the yeshiva to determine eating habits, okay? And maybe somebody can try to do a directed study in one of those. I actually say that only a little tongue in cheek, not completely. You know, to study eating habits, to design the questions, and figure out, ask, you know, 500 people in the yeshiva. I bet you the guys would be very excited filling this out.
Would be great to combine like a psychology research.
Absolutely, you want to find out what the Matthias is. I think it's very. It's maybe sociology. Yeah. Okay. What? I didn't say people never. No. All I'm saying is that what my point is only the following: there are most people for their standard meals, and see, toast typically people eat for breakfast, which some people don't view really as a meal. But that said, the fact is, it is very common in our society. It is very common in our society. You know, you guys remind me like the women. You know, when you teach halacha to women, you can't. I'm sorry for saying this. It's been my limited experience of teaching halacha to women. You can never get to the abstract stuff because they're always asking, "Well, what about this? What about that?" In my kitchen, you know.
So my
point is simply in this Medina, it's very clear that a majority of meals for most people, most of them, certainly Americanized people, a majority of meals do not center around bread. They may have bread as part of them, but you know, but when you have a steak, you know, or whatever else, things like that nature, and chicken or whatever else, it tends to be centered around some type of you know, bread is certainly not the case. Even when you typically, there are things that come chamesh mina dagan that become a staple of a meal, like pasta. Will be the focus of the meal, but you guys can after Shir, you have permission to hog tie him and whip him, okay? Fine, just leave him alive because I need him, you know, as an essential assistant. But the bottom line is, so even if occasionally a certain types of meals people might make bread, they eat garf. If you might go and have bread with a, you know, if you're having a Middle Eastern style meal. Right. But normally, we certainly live in a society in which it's fair to say people are koveya suda on things that are not bread. That's, I think, fair to say. And if Elio were to come and tell us, he would say, this is kviyusa. Okay. I don't pretend to be a mind reader, but I think it's a davar pasher. It's not butladato, it's a kladam. Interestingly enough, Michael, I think you raised the question about the tension of the Gemara. If you look, and it's not a raya for the Gemara, the Me'iri, when he quotes it, he ignores the Elio part. He just, when he does invoke something, he talks about butladato, it's a kladam. But again, your point is on the mark, but I think that the ikar of the Gemara is the butladato piece. So if you accept that, then it would seem from the Gemara, it would seem, at least just this Gemara alone, that if it's normal to be koveya sudan at something, and you don't say butladat leitzah kaladan, so then you make shalosh brachas afterwards. Not bracha rishona, but shalosh brachas afterwards. What's that?
That's the
Me'iri is the one person I noticed who actually, I don't know if the other rishonim even quote it. They just say you're not koveya sudan. I don't remember if they say, I'll have to look again. But it just sort of jumped out at me thinking about that question as I was reading the Me'iri. You could argue that there are other reasons. I bet if the Rishonim come down one way or another, they're going to quote the second part because that's really a halachic category as opposed to the Miyavol Ebi Yom Yomar. But you go and check. The Gemara here gives no indication that it's a function of Shiva Saminim. All it says is Sayyid.
Because it has to be Shiva Saminim.
Let's go to the Mishnah later, okay? The Svara and this Gemara, if you didn't know anything else, if you're learning the Perek Keseder, and you don't know the Mishnah later, and you have this notion that you make Berachas HaMazon on bread, and you read this Gemara, it sounds from this Gemara what? It sounds that anything on which a person is normally Koveya Suda, it's a normal thing for people to do. If he is then Koveya Suda on that, so then you make Berachas HaMazon. It doesn't say anything about Bracha Rishona. This clearly, the Bracha Rishona is not going to be Hamotzi Lachem in Aretz, as opposed to what we know now, not from our Sugya, that Pasa Babakistan, if you Koveya Suda on it, you make Hamotzi and Berachas HaMazon. But that Pasa Babakistan is Pas HaBabakistan. Clearly, no one had a Hava Mina, no one had a Hava Mina that you would say Hamotzi Lachem in Aretz and wine. I'll just comment to you That I understand. So he made a very important ha'ara yesterday, which is something we need to test throughout the parak. We will see instances where it's going to come up. To what extent does the bracha rishona influence the bracha achrona, the bracha achrona influence the bracha rishona? To what extent do they get tied together? One example that you're going to encounter on the next set of makoros, I asked you to look at Rabbeinu Yonah, you'll see this in Tosis already and all the other rishonim, is what do you do when your kosis, what's the bracha achrona for kosis esachita? What's the bracha rishona for kosis esachita? Bari pri adama. What bracha do you make after it? Al ha-yirakos v'al ha-aretz v'al yirakos or something like that. That's what Rabbeinu Tam used to do. That's what Rabbeinu Tam used to do. However, most Rishonim disagree with that. Why? So they work out the text, but many of the texts at first glance point in Rabbeinu Tam's direction. But clearly they're motivated by an assumption that something that normally, there was one exception to the rule, but normally it's this way. Anything that you don't make a mezonos in front of, or a motzi in front of, you don't, and it's not shivas aminim, you don't make an alamecheh afterwards, right? Basically, the only things on which you're going to make more than a bori nefashos afterwards, or let me say this way, if it's bori minim mezonos before, with one exception, it's going to be ein shalosh afterwards, unless it's pas, it's shalosh brachos. If it's not bori minim mezonos, and it's not a motzi lechem in haaretz, and it's not one of the shivas aminim, which has whatever each bracha is, so then, then you don't make a main shalosh afterwards. Rabbeinu Tam says you do. Yeah, am I wrong?
So after the medical ethics conference, they serve wraps. So I didn't know what to do.
One might argue, though, if you put, again, I won't say this more than once, the answer is probably at this stage, if you put a wrap in front of me, I would probably make a bracha on the inside, not on the wrap. After hearing the Rav's comment about
apple pie.
On my own, I wouldn't have wanted to do it, but, you know, in the sense of kfar harazakein, not in the sense that that's the only position there could be, but yeshal min lismoch, I think once the Rav was willing to say that, so an Ilan Gadol already accepted the premise that we're dealing with here, is that even within these things, you can talk, even with mezonos, talking about ikra v'tafel, what's that?
He wasn't talking about pas.
But there's no difference between hamesh shemei dagen, yeah. Yeah, there's no difference. When you read the way it's presented, there's no difference between them. So anyway, I think I probably would have said most of the time it's shakal. What's if it's tuna or something like that, or maybe shakal. In that case, anyway, you can be somech on the fact that we paskin shakal paters everything, and we also paskin on the Shulchan Aruch, not what the Achronim say. We'll eventually deal with. I believe the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is not when you mesupak you wash. The psak of the Shulchan Aruch is when you mesupak, you make a shakal. I don't know why. You get the Yirei Elokim, so many of you shown them say wash in certain contexts, or don't eat it. They wouldn't eat it alone. They eat it only with pas. Right. But anyway, so I probably would have made a shahakol.
Would you have washed as well?
No, I wouldn't have washed, because okay. The din is the tila shadayim is only when you make hamotzi. Okay. Even by chamishas mine dagon, you don't wash.
Right. Or by first.
Or that's with mashkin love. Right. So the only thing that can be said is that probably you could have made birchas hamazon anyway in light of the Gemara here. You know, they're accepting the premise that... Let me put it this way. Again, I would say here it works mishnei tzadim. Many would hold that imuchuik to make birchas hamazon anyway because of the bread. But if you don't hold that as bread, which you didn't when you washed, nonetheless, the pashtus in the Gemara is that if this is normal mezonos shel adam and it's true in our society, then you should make birchas hamazon anyway. So the truth is, again, you know, the nice thing sort of about this area, this particular area, making hamotzi on it, see, that's not a chumrah. That could be a bracha levatala. Shahakol is vaday, not a bracha levatala. Hamotzi is a safek bracha levatala.
At the end.
At the end's the more interesting question.
And you wouldn't be yotze according to
Pashas. You wouldn't be yotze according to, right. Assume, well,
if
it's bread, correct.
Bread or if it's suda.
Correct.
No,
he said if it's either if it's bread or if it's su'uda, following the sheet here. Okay, so anyway, I haven't had this case and probably I'm going to avoid it from now on, but if I'm in a situation where I really want to have the wraps, I'm probably going to make the shakal adama based upon what's inside it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure I would bench on it. Just because one of them is the pashtus in the Gemara. that it's Ikar and Tafel. It's only a question of defining the lines. One of them is a Kiddush. In other words, the Gemara and the Poskim didn't say that you make Berachas HaMazon on it. So, you know, as I mentioned, what Rav Yol's practice, and Rav Aaron thinks he's really right in principle, but Rav Aaron washes. So I'm not sure yet I have the courage to say I'm going to make Berachas HaMazon. I would say Bar Nefashos, yes. I mean, you have to see if people are gonna notice. So if you feel that it's gonna create a stir, then go out and wash, and then that can, you know, don't make a bracha, or make a bracha without shame of malchus, you know, and they don't know that, and then you go make a shakal and they don't know that, you know. What's that? I don't know what I would do.
You're yotze with their bench.
I'd say you're probably yotze with their bench. Yes. I don't know. Okay, Michael, what's your question? Maybe you can bring some.
So you said you would bench, or you wouldn't bench after you made your
bracha? Oh, that's what they're pressing me. What would I do in this case? On my own, I wouldn't bench. I make a bar nefashos.
My goodness.
Yeah, because I'm not. What's that? These are two unrelated issues that we're talking about.
Right, but it's a good opportunity where Norman of Alba is, even if it's for the wrong reason.
I hear what you're saying. Again, you know, ask me in 2 months from now. Either that, or we've done fully the Ikar Tafel Sugya and everything, and maybe I'll tell you that yes, I would make Berachas HaMazon. You know, there's a set. Personally, you have to understand, despite all the nice ideas that I introduce here, I have a certain very strong degree of conservatism, lowercase c, in me. So you know, it takes, you know, there are certain things that I do, you know, it took a while till I started making Bar Pri Adama on Cheerios, you know, because there was a part that was difficult, but even though it's right. So, this is, you haven't been here long enough, yes. Otsa not one of the Chameshis Mina Dagan. Yes, it's certainly not Shibola Shul. Shibola Shul is not oats. They didn't know of oats in Eretz Yisrael in the Mishnaic and Talmudic times. Oh, what? What's that? And a bar nefashos afterwards. Yes. I don't eat oatmeal. So what is it made of? Just oats?
Yeah.
It's not the din of the Gemara. We don't even do it. I don't remember what the Shulchan Aruch says on Dochan. Many Rishonim say you only make bar mizonos on Ores, not even on Dochan. So it's not, if it's not one of Chameshis in the Dagan, it's not going to be any different than Dochan. What? So the answer is no. It can't become chametz.
Yes, they do.
I will tell you when I had a student, a former student. Who asked me what to do? He had celiac disease, and it wasn't that bad because he's a really great guy who'd grown up with diabetes, and they only discovered when he was 19 that he also had celiac, so it obviously wasn't that severe. Some of you may know who I'm referring to, and he asked me when they so this is around the time he's my shiur, they sort of diagnosed this, okay. So he said, well, he asked him what to do, and I told him, I said that I don't think you yotze without matzah. And I would recommend, as long as you're not going to get sick over it, to have just a real kazayas of the wheat matzah. Don't worry about five kazayas. What? Excuse me, Dr. Cohn, you should know better. For celiac disease, spelt is no different than wheat. There are people who have wheat sensitivity because it's gluten. People with wheat sensitivities have a problem with wheat often and not with spelt, but for celiac, it makes no difference. Oats, there's an article in New England Journal of Medicine, the original ones, I think 1996. Oats, because there is a tiny, tiny amount of gluten, not enough to make it rise and not enough to set these people off unless they're hyper, hyper sensitive. My etzah to the student was just eat a kazayas of wheat matzah. If you're not going to get sick,
real kazayas.
A real kazayas, yeah, and that's it. And if you want to have the oat matzah because you enjoy it, that's fine, but I would not, if someone only had oat matzah and they were alone, I would tell them, bevada, you're not allowed to make a bracha of alachilas matzah. You know, and I would tell them to make, you know, mizonos is not a bracha l'atala, but you would not say motzi lechem in aretz right, almet. What's that?
Incredible.
So there's certainly, there's no din of kitnios on it, because the minute, kitnios is only when there's a minig not to eat something.
But the Rambam's definition of kitnios.
Hold on. First, let me fill you in on something, a little secret here. First, I would not be makel on the chametz issue on Pesach just because, you know, the tzibur does it, number one. Number two, you have to realize there's no such thing as oat bread. Rye bread, even rye, which is one of the chameshes mina dagan that Chazal identified, but it has the din of chameshes mina dagan because it does have gluten in it. That's the protein that lets bread rise. So rye bread is wheat bread with a few rye seeds in it. Rye and barley bread and anything of that nature, anything but wheat and spelt, do not have enough gluten to make a fluffy loaf of bread. They make a very dense bread, but they do make a bread. Oats, you make crackers out of. You can't make bread out of oats. In Scotland, apparently, they make oat crackers or something like that. You can't; it just won't rise. It doesn't have. It has a tiny, tiny amount of gluten, which is used as cinnamon, but just not enough that can ever make it into chametz. I wouldn't be makil to ignore the chametz issue on oats, but for all other purposes, I would treat it as it's not being chametz done. Yeah. In other words, otherwise oatmeal would be mutter. Yeah, because there's no gluten in it. There's virtually no gluten in it. What's that?
Believes that
yeah. Nobody is it. No, because Rashi's the first one to identify. Rashi gets to Northern Europe. He's got to identify the Chamish Dagan. He finds, so wheat and barley were very well known. The others are of less clear identification. There are at least three days in the Mishonim as to what Shibola Shul is. But oats do not grow in Eretz. Cannot grow in the climate of Eretz Yisrael. The kernels fall off before they even ripen. The climate's not suitable for it. Rye is also a northern grain. So it becomes a mitzvah determination. So anyway, bottom line is, I would not, it's usher to eat oatmeal on Pesach, but I wouldn't tell a person you can't be yotzei without matzah.
You have to sell your oatmeal.
What's that? The truth is, even that form, it's not chametz anyway yet.
Right.
In other words, even if it could become chametz, it's not yet chametz. So we would not allow you to eat it. But
you can have flour on Pesach too.
Because flour, even though it's been bleached.
Not flour, oatmeal.
You don't have to sell your flour.
Not flour, oatmeal. Why can't you eat oatmeal?
So again, because we don't. That's why. Because no, we don't do chalita.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, Medina, I think yes, but if you ask me, it's usher. No, because most of them are probably working with the same assumptions. Even though I don't know how Svaradim, but they've probably been influenced by this.
They would cook them.
What does he say?
I don't know if he definitely says it's not allowed. I don't know if his followers will actually eat oat, but they might.
Well, what he says, what not allowed? What does he say?
It's not one of the five meanings.
No, oh, he says that. I think
you can eat it on Pesach. Maybe he actually, I don't know if he actually
so I would just tell you, it's mutter to eat oats on Pesach, provided that that you make sure it's not bali dechimutz. It's one of those, but the bizarrest thing about kitnias, and nothing further on that now, is that you could treat corn, let's say make corn flour, or any kitnias, make it into, you could treat it and be nizar mechimutz, and it's still aser to eat. What do you mean? Wheat, which is bali dechimutz, it's mutter to eat on Pesach, as long as you shomer it menachimutz. But kitnias, which can't even have chimutz, that's aser to eat, even if you shomer it. It makes no sense, but okay.
It's like paradox.
Don't ask me. but even though you'd say that you would treat it as such, if you're shomer menachimutz, how can it be awesome? But we don't. The Jewish wives got a hold of Pesach and they made our life crazy. Yes, it's really true. Ezra.
What's the pshat in the Mishnah Berachot Mem Dalel?
Oh, we're gonna get there in a second. That's where we're trying to get every time. This Gemara is like a sand trap. This Gemara. I promise. We are not. I'm not gonna let you bar me down any further. I'm sorry about this. Okay. It's all Torah, but I want. Oh God. Yes. What?
Just since we mentioned Sunday already.
You guys are going to make me leave and not come back. I'll settle down in Canada.
You're going to go to Montreal?
No share tomorrow, yeah. Or for the next 6 months. Yes, go ahead.
It's just that what happened was Ron mentioned about the wraps at the park.
Yeah.
So I went there to the lunch, but I was late, and I got there after the lunch was over. And I went over the table, and there was the serving tray there with one wrap left.
Yeah.
And it had opened up.
Yeah.
And the caterer was there cleaning up. And one caterer turned to the other caterer and said, "Ah, this one's open. Now nobody's going to eat it."
And what does that prove? Nothing.
And that proves either one side or the other, that you won't eat the middle of the wrap without the wrap to hold it, or you would never eat the wrap without the middle.
No, it's just
on
the
back.
No, it's people
right,
think that's
right.
Been
and I said
before.
That's not true.
Shah,
and I ate it.
Okay. Enough.
No.
Okay, guys, let's get a little focused. Let's get a little focused. What emerges from the sugya would appear here, without knowing the Mishnah later, is that any time it's normal to be koveya sud on something, you make berachas hamazon, not necessarily any specific bracha before. When you turn to the Mishnah daf mem dalet amud aleph, you get a more complex picture of Birchas HaMazon. And the Mishnah says as follows. Go ahead, Aaron.
58.
Ochal. Okay. So they don't mention, interestingly enough, I don't know why, what don't they mention? Zesim and Tamarim. I don't know why. See, one might, if they had left out Zesim and Anavim and had mentioned Tamarim, I would assume, because Zesim and Anavim were usually used for their liquids. That was their primary usage. Felix does confirm that. And they mentioned the other three things. But that... Yeah, I see. That's good. Good. Very good. So it's following. It takes the first half of the pasuk. Now notice what's in parentheses here. Rav Lichtenstein pointed this out yesterday. I had heard this from many years ago, and it's true all over the place. The word me'in shalosh was not in originally the Tanaitic sources. He didn't talk about it yesterday, but one of the suggestions is, and he may have, I don't know, maybe he said it before I came yesterday, or he alluded to it maybe, that they had a bracha achas, you know, some other nusach, but it was not what we call the Me'ein Shalosh. We may have seen some of those brachas
that
there.
Was like a harpa,
right, I understand, but bracha achas was not what we know. Right. The Me'ein Shalosh that we have is called bracha achas Me'ein Shalosh because it's an abridged version of Birchas HaMazon. All three major themes, all four themes, even with Hatov HaMeitiv gets in at the end. Are encapsulated in there. You know, first you start with Al HaMichya Aval HaKal Kala, that's Azanas HaKal. Racham Ayisrael Amecha Aval Yishlam Amecha. I skipped it. Well, that, no, that's already Rachem. And before that, you say Al HaAretz. Al HaAretz Ve'Al HaMichya, and so on. So that's what? Right, no. No, that's Birchas HaMazon. I'm talking the main Shalosh, all three themes are mentioned. And finally, Kiata Shem Tov Meitiv Lakol is Birchas HaTov HaMeitiv. So it's all there. Now it's Me'in Arba, but it used to be called Me'in Shalosh. So the Mishnah always says Bracha Achas, but it doesn't mean it may not mean Me'in Shalosh. That's only later. The other thing he points out, not our issue now, is that the Gemara Mem Dalet Amin Aleph says Amar Le Abaye the Rav Dimi Ma'inihu Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh. Abayi's asking in Dima, what is Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh? And he goes on to tell him the Nusach of, you know, he gave different Nuschas. Abayi didn't know what the Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh. So he's pointing out that this seems to, what's that?
Not everyone said it.
Not everyone said it. It seems to be something of a development, and that's why Abayi, but the first time he hears the Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh, he asks him, what is this Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh? Bracha Achas, he knew.
Abayi was also the one who said that sometimes he forgets.
No, that was Ravashi. That's later, that's on the top of Mdalim base. Yes, yes, most likely, and it works its way back, you know, it's in Babylonian sources first. I don't remember if the Yerushalmi also has at some point Me'in Shalosh or not. We'll have to reread through the Yerushalmi. It's been a while since I've been through it, yeah.
I was going to say, in Kalpin it does not have...
right, no, most of the Kisrei don't, even, look, it's so much not in the Mishnayos that even in the Vilna Shas they have it marked for deletion.
Kati, for some reason, adds it in without even telling you what's what.
But this is a case where people, you know, I don't even think it's necessarily an intentional emendation. It just happens because everybody's bracha. We know what bracha achas is. Of course, bracha achas, that's obvious, it's Me'in Shalosh. So, anyway, so then the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva's sheet is really the most interesting one. Right? Afilo achas shelek v'hu mezono. Now, what does the Gemara say in the Kudas HaMachlokas? It says, go to the Gemara now. My time at the Rabbi Gamliel. So those are, I believe, three consecutive psukim. Eretz Chito, Sara, V'gefen, Usainav, V'rimon, Eretz Zeis, Shem, and Udvash. One. Eretz Asher, Lovim, Iskenus, Tocha, Ba, Lechem, Lo, Sechsar, Kol, Ba. Eretz Asher, Avaneh, Barzel, Meherat, Tatsam, Nechoshes. That says just Lechem. V'achalto, V'savato, V'achta, and so on. So the pasuk says this, the pasuk that immediately precedes Birchas HaMazon says Tocha Balechem. So Rabbi Gamliel says you go back already to Psukim Eretz Chito Sara Ol Shivas Aminim. Then you have a pasuk that speaks about Lechem. So Rabbi Gamliel says you see it's even Shivas Aminim. But Rabbanon, what do the Rabbanon say? No, the fact is you only go back to the immediately preceding pasuk, right? The extra Eretz. The Torah didn't say Eretz Chitos, Eretz Eishem, Nodvash, Eretz, you know, V'lechem. Instead, it has other things than a mafsik too, but Eretz Hifsik Inyan. I guess it means it's a separate pasuk. So the Gemara says. Now that is a really, 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 really important line. Why do I think that's a really important line? No, there's a machlokas. There's the big machlokas on Avim and Tainim and Rionim. Let me ask you a question. If you believe that the pasuk of Yachal Tavis Savata goes back on two psukim before, why should there be no Birchas HaMazon on Kosis HaSachita? The answer is because you have to be memayit something. Right? In other words, Eretz Hifsek HaInyan. The Chachamim say Eretz Hifsek HaInyan so much that you don't make a Birchas HaMazon at all in the Shivas Aminim. It's not at all tied to Shivas Aminim. It's tied to Lechem. So when they ask for Rabbi Gamliel, what do you do with this Eretz Hifsek HaInyan? So it must be memayit something. So he says a kosis is achita. So the fact that he excludes something, naniach, that he's got, as Lichtenstein said, I think said yesterday, I think he said it in Shir, you know, you always ask the question, no, but I think it was afterwards, Jeremy, I think this is in the conversation with you. Whenever you had to do something one way or the other, so somebody's always going to ask, no matter which way the Rambam writes something or organizes, he'd ask, well, why did he do it this way? Why did he do it the other way? And if he had done it the other way, he would ask, why he did it that way, not this way? So he has to exclude something. But presumably, in this case, when he's given a blank slate, what he chooses to exclude presumably has some significance. There has to be a svara driving why he chooses to exclude a kosis is achita. What are you talking about?
What is
kosis? Kosis, yeah, kosis is you chew on it.
You're just chewing on it.
I don't think you spit it out when you're done. I think you swallow it. I know, but it is Eretz Chita. My question is, why does Rabbi Gamliel, why did he say, you know, since most people didn't eat grapes, they turned it into wine, why did he say, what? No. I know why we know that. The question is, what is the svara behind? What would Rabbi Gamliel's svara be in excluding a kosis achita? You are eating it. You chew it and you swallow.
But that's not the way you eat it.
David, thank you. But that, what does that mean already?
What
did he say?
It's not the way you eat it.
Okay, that's not typically what it's eating. So well, you've already introduced this idea that birchas, in other words, we start out thinking it's exeris akosuf. It's pure. And so why do you make Birchas HaMazon on bread? Because the pasuk says lechem. Why do you make bracha according to Rami Gamliel Birchas HaMazon on the Shivas Aminim? Because the pasuk says so. Now all of a sudden it seems to be it's not just simply gzeres hakasav gzerahi melefanai, you know, but rather there seems to be some svara driving it. Now there's obviously a difference between Rami Gamliel's svara and Rabbi Akiva's and the Chachamim svara. But there's some type of a svara. See, when you start out reading the Mishnah, let's read Rabbi Akiva for 1 second. Read Rabbi Akiva for 1 second. How does the Gemara explain Rabbi Akiva, Shita? It doesn't. All it says, it wonders about the Metzias. What does the Gemara say? Read it, Aaron. Okay. So, no, I'm sorry. What does the Gemara say? On Amud Beis. Bemdal on Amud Beis. Second wide line. Apparently, cabbage stalks were some people. I don't know who. Don't ask me. Apparently, there was some, that used to be some people. That's what they lived on. I don't know.
Well,
whatever he's referring to had nutrients because he's referring to something he saw with his eyes. So, anyway.
Is that something that's decided by the individual?
The Gemara just wants to know, is there anybody who does this? So the answer is, for somebody who does this, it gives an example of the kind of thing that actually people might do. So my observation would be the following. You read the Gemara, it says nothing about Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva's Shita's Pashut. How does Rabbi Akiva understand things? How does Rabbi Akiva read the Psukim? Correct! Correct! It's what is the Svar in Rabbi Akiva? So I would say the Gemara doesn't quote the pasuk. It's just obviously a svara. What else do you need?
He's
the pasuk. What's that?
He's not taking lechem literally.
He's not thinking about lechem. He's just reading the pasuk in isolation. If you eat and you say now. Of course, Rabbi Akiva does have to understand the sequence of the Pesukim. The answer is obviously because that's what people usually ate. But when you look at the Machlokas HaTanaim in the Mishnah, the first and the Gemara's explanation, without thinking carefully about a Kosis Zachita, you're first tempted to say that there are two fundamental different camps in the Mishnah. How do the camps break down? Fortunately, there are three opinions, so you can't just say, you know, Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, whatever else. How do the camps break down? Which two Tanaim belong to one camp, and which Tana stands in isolation? Rabbi Akiva stands in isolation. The first two Tanaim hold that it's based upon fundamentally Xeris HaKasim. The third Tana holds that it's based upon a Svara. You know, you're sated, you give thanks to... No, the Torah teaches you that when you're sated, I agree, but it's not based upon... The Pasuk says, if you eat, you eat, drink, be merry, you eat and you're full, you give blessings. I understand. That svara, everybody agrees to, the pasuk has taught you. But Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim come along and say, even though you eat and you're full, and you should give thanks to God, you don't have to if it wasn't bread or one of the Shivas Aminim. So there's an element of a real anthogzeris akasav. There's obviously this svara is that you give thanks to God because you ate. But nonetheless, it's only limited to certain foods. Why the limitation of those foods? Xeris akasav. But you see from akosis as achita, So, stop 1 second. So now, one of you asked me a while ago, a few days ago, maybe either in Shir or in Seder, somebody asked, is our Gemara in Lamed Hamed Beis, what question did somebody obviously ask me? Is the Gemara in Lamed Hamed Beis, whose Shita is that going according to? Someone asked me, you had one discussion with me, someone else asked me, is that Rabbi Akiva Shita? Why did the person ask me, is that Rabbi Akiva Shita? Because it sounds from the Gemara that if you kobeasud on something, it doesn't matter what it is, even Yayin, even a ben yayin, you would have made birchas hamazon on it.
Even yayin is shiva aminim.
No. What I meant was something which is not any kind of pas. Okay, something which people are not even which is a beverage. I understand it's an achash of a beverage. So take out my even. But the point is, if you were kaveh sudan yayin, you would have benched on it, right? Why? Because zayin and kaveh sudan sayalei. That's what you would have thought. Are you so you would zayin sayin? Okay, but the problem with wine is that's not kviyasu daseale, right? It doesn't say shivas aminim. But if you have shelek, for some people apparently is zayin, it's sayin. If he's kviyasu da on it, that's mizono. So then you make berchas hamazon. So you would have thought what? Yeah, but here's the catch. It's not because obviously he has a different standard. See, Rabbi Akiva, ironically, seems to agree more with the Chachamim in terms of the broader Svara and Metzias, because people did not normally, I doubt, tamarim might have served in some context as a staple food. I don't think that Rimonim did. Okay, you get situations you have, I don't know, you couldn't tell if it's a meal, there's some story that one of the Amorim comes to Bavel and the dates are really cheap and he eats a whole basketful and he first, during the day, he says, you know, he eats in the evening, he says, these Babylonians, food is so cheap and they don't sit and learn Torah all the time, you know, and then he has horrible stomach pains, whatever, and he says, these Babylonians eat all these dates and they learn Torah, it's amazing, something like that, the Gemara says. So I don't know, you know, if he just hadn't had dates in a long time, he's overindulged, but dates, by senses, are a food that in certain diets at least play a heavier role, but I don't think anybody eats rimonim as a meal. So Rabbi Gamliel's view is something, ironically, something different than I think the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva. But even Rabbi Gamliel's view is somehow informed. He excludes hakoseis esachita. So nearly that you can't assume that this Gemara is going dafka libe the Rabbi Akiva. I think that this Gemara, the question is, what does this Gemara do with the Mishnah? So I think the answer is, this is an issue. In fact, Rabbi Akiva is adopting which position? Rabbi Akiva, if I were to say anything, who is this Gemara going like? The Chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel, or Rabbi Akiva? I would say it's going like the Chachamim. Why not Rabbi Akiva? Because what does Rabbi Akiva hold? Rabbi Akiva holds you don't need Eliyahu Hanavi. Rabbi Akiva holds, what's that?
Maybe your own personal.
You don't say butler died to wait until Kaladam. The reason why the Chachamim say it's only a lechem is because in that time, For Rob Bnei Adam, that was what Yukov Sudan.
So you think the Gemara misinterpreted Rabbi Akiva's statement by saying that, oh, it's only talking about Kruv, because it could be anything?
No, not at all. I think that the Gemara is wondering, who does that? I mean, no. Rabbi Akiva must be speaking of something, at least for some people's Metzias. They just couldn't imagine. I would read it as just a simile, you know, to me on the Metzias. Like, who does this? I mean, you ask me. You don't even understand Rabbi Akiva Ravashi's answer. Right? Chaim?
If it was truly based on the Chachamim, why wouldn't it just say that it doesn't matter whether or not a person is Kobe Asuda on anything else or not? It has to be a din in the bread, not in
Suda. No. The point is, I'm arguing the Chachamim Shita is that you say Batla Daito Eitzel, the Chachamim Rabbi Akiva. I'm going to leave Rabbi Gamliel out for the moment. Rabbi Gamliel, I think, has to have a Shita which is Bichlal Shona. Completely different. Because Rabbi Akiva is clearly tied to a meal, and the Chacham Shita of Lechem, even though they're the one Shita that you could say isn't based upon Svarah, it's just based upon Xeris HaKasa, but I think it's clear there has to be Svarah behind it. Given Rabbi Gamliel, you know, clearly is based upon the Svarah that he distinguishes between Kosa Sachita. I'm assuming everybody really is, their interpretations of the Pesukim are partially driven by Svarah. So, you may be able to tie it back in the Pesukim, but I'm going to assume that Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham are much closer in principle. The question is, though, whose position is our Gemara? It's tempting to say Rabbi Akiva. I think not. I think the Chacham's position is that that it's not a personal thing, that your Kovea, that it's not your Mazon. It has to be something that's a Mazon for a broad set of people. It can't be Batla Dainto Eitzel Kaladam.
It's kind of like what the definition of Kamar Medina is, right? That it's always dependent on everyone else.
Okay, there are lots of dinim that are like that. Yeah?
Why didn't you say it's Rabbi Akiva and the Gemara is bringing in another issue that has to be dealt with?
So the answer to that is it is possible. And then you raise if it's Rabbi Akiva Shita, then you raise an interesting question in terms of Pesach Halacha, which is do you Paschal then know to Paschal like Rabbi Akiva because Sugya the Alma assumes like Rabbi Akiva. The reason I think I'm reluctant to do so is that Rabbi Akiva Shita, my sense, is somewhat kitzoni. You know, when you learn the Perek, if you didn't learn the Mishnah, I think you'd be aware of the Machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim over Shalosh Brachos on Shivas Aminim. Rabbi Akiva Shita is never going to, I don't know if it's never, Mamish never quoted, but it's sort of like, it's peripheral for whatever reason in the world of the worldview of the Bavli. And therefore, I'm reluctant to assume that the Maskana of the Sugya is dependent upon Rabbi Akiva Shita. I'm not saying it's impossible, but we did disinclined to lean in that direction.
Because you don't even have to say that the Gemara is bringing in a new factor, because Rabbi Akiva says himself it has to be Mizono. And that's what the Gemara over there is discussing. Is it really Mizono? And in order to know whether it's really Mizono...
I lost you there. But what is that... Why does that mean that wherefore we should be...
I think that you were saying that if it were like Rabbi Akiva, our sugya, so then... There would be no issue about the
No. If you're going to read our sugya being Rabbi Akiva, you're going to have to reinterpret Rabbi Akiva on the Mishnah there. And then you're going to say then that the Chachamim say it doesn't matter. It's got to be lechem. Period. It's an eternal standard. Rabbi Akiva says it's a subjective standard. And then this sugya is going to Rabbi Akiva. I don't like that because I think it's unlikely that Rabbi Akiva, that who appears to be a friend Shita, is the one that's adopted by the sugya. You know, it's one thing when you have a machlokas tanoim, machlokas amarim, two shitas that seem to get roughly equal presentation, and one sugya seems to work with one or the other. That's often how we show in Paskin. That's what we call the sugya da'alma. But in a case where the shita is so kitzoni, or it seems to be so kitzoni, that the stam of the alma, the sugya da'alma should be assuming Rabbi Akiva. I'm disinclined to believe that, and therefore I would read the Mishnah, the Machlokas on the Mishnah differently. That what you're attributing to Rabbi Akiva's position is really in principle the Chachamim's position, and Rabbi Akiva's position is what Shlomo said, it's completely subjective. I can't prove it.
Just based on the fact that you don't think that the Sugyo would favor Rabbi Akiva?
Yes. Yes. Yes, and based upon the fact that from Ravashi's comment, it seems that the reality of eating shelek from Mizono seems to be extremely rare and far-fetched. Now again, maybe that's not what Rabbi Akiva was thinking, but at this point, at least in Ravashi's time, it was a very far-fetched scenario someone would be doing that. So that sounds Rabbi Akiva's arguing a case even when it's far-fetched. Moshe, was a comment question?
I'm just wondering if it sort of gets a little bit circular, but I imagine it applies to Halakha almost across the board, where the concept of Adam is sort of an expansion on a sort of subjective sense of of what a person would do. In the sense that Rabbi Akiva is saying, look, people have personal preferences in what they eat and what they're going to be satisfied with. And Chacham is going to come along and say, no, but it's a kol adam, or that's how the maskana of the Gemara is. Yeah, but who's the kol adam? In other words, if that's going to change from either society to society or even within one society, then the halacha still is sort of subjective in some sense, but it's more a matter of conformity than a matter of some objective standard.
That's the way I argue to read the Mishnah. I'm arguing that the Chachamim say, like the sugya says here, Rabbi Kiva's position is that no, that imkava sudasa ala yayin, so, and not the way it means later, but it means if you make yayin your suda, then Rabbi Kiva would say nachanami.
Right, but Rabbi Akiva.
You could also distinguish Rabbi Akiva. You could say that it has to be something that person is regulin, because I don't think anybody was regul ala yayin. You know, but Eir Nachnami, Riki would say, if you're Ragil, Likvah Sudasa, to make it Yayin, that's what his Sudas, then Riki would say that also, yeah. So that's what I'm suggesting reading the Mishnah, and therefore the Sugya really is the Chachamim and not Rabbi Akiva. But from the Mishnah itself, you don't hear anything besides Lechem. I'm suggesting that it's conceivable that the argument in many ways is between Chacham and Rabbi Akiva is really about Svara, and if it's about Svara, not simply Xeris HaKosov of Lechem, then it may be that it that may change with time. Okay.
More than Rabbi Akiva, I mean, of fundamental concept in the issue of a bracha achrona, rather than whereas Chachamim were simply saying, listen, we have to account for everybody, we have to make.
Okay, so that's another way of saying right. That the machlokes is whether you say batla data.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay, so I should, God willing, be and stay there. I don't know if it'll be here at 9 o'clock, but I should be here relatively early tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you're going to.